morning, everyone. As Bruce mentioned, my name is Chuck Schleusner. I'm the product line manager at Deere's Intelligent Solutions Group. I'm going to talk to you today about how Deere views the market related to where we're at for information-enabled agriculture and where we need to go to drive more customer value and actually commercialize the next set of opportunities in this space. I will not go into a great amount of detail on some of our product offerings. I have a subsequent follow-up tomorrow afternoon in this same room where we'll do that. So I'm going to talk about moving the ball forward when it comes to data-enabled agriculture today. So as Bruce mentioned, this journey began 20-plus years ago. And it's interesting the way we as Deere show the progression here, but Deere had yield mapping before it had guidance. We really commercialized guidance before we got a lot of traction on yield mapping. So we show the world kind of starting with guidance and moving into things like section control and variable rate, and now into data-enabled agriculture. So it started with better machine control for us. It started with applying agronomic inputs more intelligently with that. And now we're really moving into an area where we can use data derived from our machines and publicly available information to bring about better decisions that a grower and his trusted advisors can make. So we really view this as the next frontier for our technology side of our business to complement the machines in the future. And it's not just a wish. Our research tells us that when we talk to growers about what's going to improve their profitability in the future, they don't know what it means all the time, but the use of better information to make management decisions is the number one thing they tell us. And I liken this to, in an equipment company, we have a lot of people who know ERP systems, but how to run the factory on the farm, and how to get management reporting that allows you to get good, timely information that allows you to make a better decision. And that's really what we intend to deliver to meet this customer need, is presenting the right information at the right time to make better decisions on the farm. And as Greg mentioned, there's really kind of two levels to this to get to profit, right? There's spend as much as you can to get the maximum yield in an environmentally responsible way, of course, and budget. Cap what you're going to spend and spend it the most wisely as you can. And we really see managing costs, that second one, is kind of the key mode that growers are going into right now with the uncertainty about the crop prices. So I think I'll reiterate some of the points that Greg made, but information is powerful whether you're trying to enable increased yield or decrease cost. It's a big equation, and it's how you present it and how you connect with the market for what the market conditions may be. In this case, we'll be talking more about cost in the future, in the near future anyway. So key point is customers want this. Our job is to figure out how to package it in such a way that they can adopt it and use it to make better decisions. And so what are those decisions that growers want to make throughout the year? Well, the first one is, how do I execute a crop season to produce profit at the end of it? So we have this nice little picture here of kind of managing what you're going to do, preparing the soil, planting, protecting it, and harvesting on the road to a profitable year. Well, there are a lot of questions that a grower has when trying to make decisions in pursuit of that profitable crop year. Which soils are most productive? Are they worth the rent I'm paying? Should I consider any improvements, tiling, moving dirt, etc.? What equipment is right for my operation? What operator training is necessary? What cropping practice, seed, chemical, fertilizer decisions are going to be most profitable for the field. The questions keep coming, relevant to the time of year, but questions none the same. What I'm going to talk about today is how we better answer the questions going forward. And part of this is going to actually be talking about some of the shortcomings that Deere and probably the industry has had in the past. When we haven't really answered these questions, we've provided a lot of information to growers, and frankly, they haven't been able to turn that into making decisions that they want to make. And then that's our challenge going forward. So how are these decisions getting made today? I am from a farm in west central Minnesota. My dad is kind of a gut feel kind of guy. He's Mr. Tribal Knowledge. And with some on-farm observations, he's made this work. He consults a crop report. He's got his coffee shop talk, and that's about it. As we get more progressive, as the age of growers changes, as we become more collaborative and utilize some of those technologies, the network that growers draw on is getting bigger, and more opportunities for information exchange are exposing themselves. So we have retailers who often sell inputs. They provide recommendations. They have a huge influence on what the grower does throughout the year. Similarly, farm management information systems, and this is the space that Deere has been in for a while, has attempted to bring more facts to the table. So when the grower uses his network, they can use that data to make better decisions. So I'm going to dig deep into farm management information systems and what we need to do as a next step to help the grower answer more questions than we create, frankly. So that key question that we need to answer, or series of questions, is what works well, what doesn't, and what should I do differently? This is a space that in the farm management information systems we've provided today, we haven't really addressed. And so let's dig into that a little bit more. So I'm going to show you some Deere systems today that we provide. Essentially, throughout the crop season, we tell the grower what happened, not what worked, what didn't, and what they should do better next year. So we've been in this phase for about 20 years of reporting the weather after it happened, not helping the grower generally get to a place to use that data to make decisions. And we've seen this from customer response that said, I've got all this data, I don't know what to do with it. And big data and going into analytics allows us an opportunity that we haven't had before. We have started to embed tools in our systems that allow them to do comparisons and allow them to rank order what worked and what didn't, but we're still not there. So in Deere, what we ask ourselves and what we're trying to accomplish to move this ball forward is how do we better answer those questions? What worked, what didn't, and what should I do better next year in a way that we haven't done before? So as a case in point, we have a lot of people in our company who are enamored with the pretty map. And what you see up here is a variety map and a yield map. And I look at that and I'm like, oh, there are some patterns there. It looks like that purple variety didn't quite yield as well. I see a transition to green up here when I went with the yellow variety. I must be on to something. Well, let me understand whether my population had anything to do with that. So I show a side-by-side of the same yield map on the right with the planting population, and And I realized that my population didn't change that much. So my bet's still on that variety did well. Except when I do a comparison across the last three times I planted corn on that field with different varieties, the outcome looks the same. So I take a step back and I scratch my head and I say, did that variety really cause that better outcome or not? I have no idea. So we presented the information. The grower can see their cause and effect. We ask them to make a lot of guesses related to the cause and effect. So despite enabling this data to be more consumable, easier to use, we really haven't answered that question. What works well, what doesn't, and what should I do differently? And I think we see this in the commercialization of these kinds of tools today. No one is really paying a lot of money for these tools because the likelihood of an outcome, meaning a decision that you can make that leads to a different outcome, is pretty low. I can show you 20 of these, and I can find you one that absolutely points to a management practice that could be changed to lead to a better decision. The problem is the other 19 times I can't find anything. We have to increase the certainty for the grower by providing them tools that lead them to a decision, not make it for them, but lead them to make a better decision. And we have to do better than we have today at that. So to kind of capture that point, so here's what we hear a lot. There's a lot of information and not many insights. Help me understand the yield and cost impacts of my different management decisions. Whether it's with the machine or agronomically, this is what customers have been telling us. So they want this information to increase their profit, but the tools we've been giving them today are not getting them there. What do we do differently? We return to our question, what works well, what doesn't, and what should I do differently, and how do we move forward from there? So I hinted at it when I talked about the ability to commercialize and the profitability. Here's kind of where we see the market right now. For 20 years, we've been collecting yield data. We've gone on to collect as-applied data for planting and applications through, frankly, difficult-to-use documentation systems in the vehicles. That's led to not many people using them, a low probability of gaining an insight. So there haven't been a lot of people willing to spend the effort to document because the likelihood of an insight is low, and therefore the adoption is low. And so our numbers kind of tell us that about 40% of growers in North America document their yield to bring back and look at the data. About 60% have a yield monitor, but only about 40% actually bring the data back to use it. That gets even lower when you go toward documentation of planting and applications. So we've got this not-so-virtuous cycle that we're trying to break, and how do we go after it? And the cloud and telematics really give us this new opportunity to break this. And I'm going to dig deeper into how do we increase the probability of gaining insights. So the first step is we continue to integrate these technologies in the machine to reduce the cumbersome nature of using these systems in the cab. For the first time, we're actually integrating all of the documentation systems into the vehicles that will roll off the line going forward. And not only integrated technology, but the interface and the controls and everything is integrated in. A big step forward to reducing the entry cost, meaning the amount of effort required to use the systems. And then leading to the topic today, how do we use benchmarking? I'm going to use the term benchmarking. In our company, analytics sounds very predictive. And from a deer perspective, especially as it relates to agronomy, we see our role as enabling the grower and his retailers and his trusted advisors to make better decisions. We can provide the data in logical, comparable chunks so that others can make decisions in the future here. And I talk about this as kind of enabling benchmarking services. If we make it easier to use these technologies and we provide better data and in a better way to get insight, in basically increase the outcome or the probability of a positive outcome, adoption will grow and our whole industry will be better off. So this is kind of how we're viewing moving the ball forward here. Integrated technology, using the power to pool data in the cloud to help growers more easily make a better decision, should drive higher adoption and move us to higher productivity and profitability in this space. So now I'm going to go into a couple of examples of exactly what I mean with these kinds of things. And the first one, I'm going to talk about how big data can deliver insights to a grower in the machine that they haven't had before. So during harvest, the grower wants to know, am I harvesting most productively? What should I be doing differently? And we see opportunities that I'm going to talk about here with a harvest benchmarking tool. So picture this in the cab of a vehicle or with a manager on his iPad. What we have here are some four key metrics that our customers tell us they tend to run their combine on. Grain productivity. So how much am I getting done? How fast am I going in terms of tonnage or bushels collected? Fuel economy, power utilization, and grain loss. In my mind, grain loss and grain productivity are far higher in value. But we have these metrics. And today, we provide small indicators in the cab to the grower or the operator that tell them what they're doing, but not really how they're doing. And so what we're working on, to use an example, is a combine has a theoretical capacity that the engineers can model, and that represents 100% here, all right? We can begin to run algorithms through and identify where me, the purple, is doing relative to that 100%, as well as we can pull in an average from the fleet among the total population and show that in comparison to what that individual machine is doing. All right? So this allows us to do a couple things. So for the operator, they know, am I doing well for light conditions compared to others or not? Frankly, our next step as a machine manufacturer then is, we can pull out what are the tendencies, what are the features and settings being used in that combine by the best in class versus the individual user, and we can make those suggestions right to that operator to change, so they can change the settings and move up that curve. We can do this on different metrics depending on what the goal of the operator is. Optimizing on time, you know, getting done before it starts snowing. Optimizing grain loss, making sure you don't put any out the back, or managing your expense. This is a way that by pooling data and understanding what the grower is doing, the individual operator is doing relative to the overall population, we can increase productivity in the cab and help the grower better accomplish their objectives. So these are the kinds of things Deere is working toward in the big data space as it relates to the machine to provide a higher level of decision support to the operator and making them more efficient. Now I'm going to move into a space where deer can be perceived as being a threat to a lot of the retailers in the industry. And I would argue our intent when we go into the agronomic space is not to displace anyone in the industry, but frankly, we're looking for partners who can work with us and we can expose the data to use this information our machines capture to move the ball forward. And so one example of that is input selection benchmarking. We can see from our planted acres and our harvested acres through the data what worked and what didn't. We don't have any offerings with this today. We know we have the data, but we're looking for partners to figure out how to bring these things to market. An agronomic benchmarking tool. Here are the hybrids I planted. Here is the best in class for the soil type I'm in. We all know there are tons of variables related to the production of corn. Isolating a few is probably not going to answer everyone's questions, but frankly, it's better than what we have today. And so these are the things we see that we can do. So for a given hybrid and soil type, what's the best hybrid and compared to what I did? So, and the data we collect, other than weather, which we can't control, we do collect a lot of this information, and we want to provide it to the industry to help make better decisions. So maybe that tool turns into, I want to look at slope, rainfall, growing degree days, nitrogen, population, hybrid cost. By pooling this data, we see the ability to provide the advisors and the growers in the industry a powerful tool that maybe they haven't been able to assemble before. And this is one of the key areas, especially in reducing input costs. There are huge benefits here, whether you're on the cost side or the yield improvement side, that someone like Deere pooling this data can provide. So this is, I talked about a machine example and I talked about an agronomic example. And with this kind of benchmarking, the pooling of the data, allowing an individual grower to benchmark their decision against others like them, we really believe we can turn this equation to put us in a different place in the industry. So this is the practical way that we see moving the ball forward. And why our goal is to introduce the cloud technologies, the data technologies to growers, because we think it can add a lot of value to them and increase their profitability going forward. So lastly, I'll just put in a plug. So our My John Deere platform that we're building, the goal is to allow others to collaborate, data to be able to come in and out freely based on whatever the grower wants, and frankly, to start bringing in applications to that set of data to help the industry grow. So with that, I think that's all of my prepared.
So let's express our thanks to Chuck for his presentation, shall we? Up my sleeve here, unless you do, and so I prefer that they come from you, the audience here. So, anyone want to lead off here? Go ahead, Mark, and grab the mic if you would. I'll come over there in a sec.
Okay, thank you, Professor.
Sure.
Yeah, turn it on there.
The question: would you repeat the numbers of the percentages of the growers that are collecting the various data but not using them, and then comment on if you have any deeper comments about why they're not? You alluded to the fact that it's just too cumbersome, but that's part of the challenge we have in all this, this system, I think.
Yeah. So the data, and we probably need to refresh it, it's a couple years old now, that we have is about 60% of our combines have yield monitors in them that capable of capturing the spatial data. Only about 40% of those growers actually take the data off into anything that can process the data to make a decision. And you know, I'd say that what drove a yield monitor in the cab is instant gratification or instant feedback. It's a no-brainer. But once you take the data back, it's one of the reasons I showed the maps is we've now made it very easy to create a map. The data can come off wirelessly. The map gets created automatically. But you're still left with the same question, kind of, so what? And unless you're a good sleuth or you really understand agronomy, your ability to find those nuggets is fairly low. And in my mind, it is, we haven't presented the data in a way that pulls out the nuggets more easily. And by just pooling the data across grower, allowing them to see them relative to others and kind of the power of the average or the power of the pool, when done in the right way, I think will make it easier for a larger percent of the population to get answers, not just create more questions.
And what were the percentages on the planting?
30 and 20. Yeah. And those numbers become really who's bringing the data back to use it. For section control in spraying, they've got a similar technology in the cab. I'm mixing my numbers a little bit there, but I'm fairly comfortable that 30% of them are actually using the planting data and 20% are using the application data of the overall population to do some analysis afterward.
Yeah, I think we have another question here.
What's going to happen when all of the farmers start talking together and then stop and they all discover that they're above average?
I get the humor in that. Not everyone will be above average. Some will be low, some will be high, but it's that kind of profit motive and desire to improve, you know, that hopefully that's what gets the ball rolling. Was there something more deeper in your question?
The bottom line is, with those kind of metrics,
yep,
it's very easy to just boost it up because, as the gentleman over here, instant gratification. And that can turn itself combines and more equipment. So it would be to your advantage to have it showing that all the farmers are above average.
I would answer it, profitability leads to buying more equipment. It's a great question. I know Greg mentioned, his company's not selling anything. We're not selling anything from an input perspective. We are selling capital equipment, and that's fair. We put a lot of value in the integrity of our brand and the company. Yes, there's a segment of the population that will believe what you stated, but
the previous speaker also pointed out a very good solution, that is to make these much more transparent.
Yep. So if you want to attend the discussion tomorrow, we have something that is a great marketing name. It's called deer.com/trust that has the one pager. I don't know, frankly, Greg, all the history of your company, but we worked very hard to simplify that down. And we're very clear. We try to be as clear as we can, let's put it that way, about what we won't do with this data. We won't use it to move the grain market or do any of that. We will use it to improve our products and to deliver benchmarking services back to growers. We try to be very clear and transparent about that. And that's our goal. If someone like Deer screws this up, we could sour a lot of people on it. So it's not only our brand, but our responsibility to make sure we're behaving ethically in a way that's consistent with grower values.
So let me interject another thought before we turn it over to Chris here. So I enjoyed your comment about your dad's tribal knowledge, but that's sort of what we would call the art of farming versus the science farming. Mm-hmm. I guess that's how I view that more. But your father's intuition was based on years of individual data points that collectively turned into knowledge in his head. Isn't that right?
Yeah, what do they say, 40 years, you get 40 tries? He's probably on about 50 now.
Yeah,
so he's...
What I'm leading to is that in the future, will the decisions by the farmer be less important? Will they get their prescription then from the big agribusiness, if you will, then, and take the pill, shall we say, and looking at future world, and they will just carry out what they're supposed to do on their farms? I'm being a little facetious here, but I wanted to hear your response.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, there are a number of trends that have to work themselves out. Farm size and the, let's say, on-staff agronomist for large farms is certainly a trend, as is all of the input manufacturers trying to bundle the prescription writing services in. So I don't know how it's going to shake out, but there's going to be a little of both, and I think it's just good industry competition. Along the way. Deere would not view that the automating out of the grower decision being a good outcome. It would not.